nodding. Daniel has power. I've got power.
Yes.
I've got the power to push this button.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome, everyone. We do have a great show for you today, don't we, Daryl? We have some exciting announcements. For the title of the episode, we have the PowerPoint live presentation. That is a fantastic feature that I think a lot of people are going to use. I know I'm going to use it, along with several planner updates that are coming along. And then I think for another one that was big on my mind was the, and this is kind of a sneaky one, there was an update to the SharePoint Designer update. So I think that's one we had covered in a previous episode, was about how SharePoint Designer was basically being turned off. We'll get to that.
Okay. 17 of them. And it was going to be a little less than 2 minutes per update. Now it's a little less than one. No, I'm just kidding. Let's rock into it. Starting with this one. Yeah, so I talked about this a little ways back because I got early access introducing a new planner integration for Message Center. You would have remembered or recalled, maybe some of you have seen it now, the planner syncing button. This is it. Message MC210991. And it complete or continues with the great work that Brian Smith and some of the Planner team have done with the Message Center team to allow you to organize your messages into a Microsoft Planner. Is this going to be useful to people that work at your place, Daniel?
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, of use for everyone that has a responsibility of monitoring the Message Center, whether it's just one person or a team. Because from a standpoint of getting these items outside of the Message Center into a service that can do something with those. And so with Planner being able to have a card for each one of these items and go, okay, what do I do with this? Do I assign it to Sally, who, you know, manage this group? You know, do I manage it myself? Whatever, you know, if it's just one person, still being able to track how this will apply to you, what kind of steps have you taken from an organization perspective of making sure that you have announced to your users, they're all prepped and ready to go for each change. So even if it's just one person or a group, I think this is a fantastic functionality that everyone should be using.
Definitely. Look, it's early days too with some of the features and the way that it operates. So as I discovered when I was installing it, it's going to give you a choice of what kind of updates you want to bring through, where you want to put them. It'll allow you to create a planner at the time, and I suggest that you just pop it into a bucket that's unassigned, not trying to get too fancy, because think of it like a stand-up. Everything's going into one of your buckets, and you just drag them over to the appropriate other bucket, which might be a role, it might be a person, but you're definitely easier to manage. So that one is rolling out to targeted release starting mid-May. General availability this summer.
That's right.
The new feature, Intune Role Management, coming to M365 Admin Center. Role Management. That's MC211409.
Yeah, just bringing this, I think, consolidating or I guess allowing access to various functions within the same window is something that we've seen throughout the that Microsoft is doing. And so for this, just bringing that role management of Intune into when you're managing roles is great. So I don't have to pop out and go somewhere else to manage it. So consistency, loving it, being able to manage that. Yep.
And all part of that Microsoft 365 story, because that's what makes it part of Microsoft 365.
Mm-hmm.
Security.
Yep.
Our next one is in the Yammer space. It's one of those sneaky, it's an update, but it's three updates. New Yammer public preview, additional admin controls and enhancements. So this is MC211416. Yammer public preview. We've started to see it as as those orgs have added the Yammer app to the Teams app. And they go, "Ooh, look, this is great. You know, we've got the new thing." Oh, wait, when we go to the web browser, when it's still send the older version. So when is that going to catch up? So that's rolling out in early May. What about that all company feed? your company doesn't really use Yammer too much, do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they don't. But when they do, Daryl, we don't use Yammer very much. But when we do it in all company.
Of course you do. Because, oh yeah, nicely timed too with the whole drink thing. It's like, I want people to see this. And I want people to know about this.
Well,
to stick it in an old company.
Well, exactly. If your organization is not using Yammer very much, or you haven't done a great adoption program for it, then people are not watching it. And so you might think, oh, then I need to put it in all company so people actually see it. Mm. And that's kind of the problem with all company. I think for organizations that are using Yammer, good on you, and you've rolled it out, you've had, you know, great adoption, people are using not the whole company to have, you know, announcements, communication, then great. This is perfect. This, you're going to have control. Only admins will be able to post to the all company. But for other organizations, I think it would effectively kill the engagement unless, you know, because that's where we do all of our communication. Is it proper? No, I do not believe it's proper, but I think make sure if you're going to enable this, that you do have that adoption program. And it doesn't have to be complicated, but you do take those steps to roll out and get ensure proper usage in your organization.
Yep. Create those communities where people can communicate. There's your communication compliance. So that, let's see, it, we'll be checking for inappropriate messages, take remediation actions, good to see that, and a couple of enhancements around live events that producers and presenters who are invited to a Yammer live event will get that email immediately, and there'll be a Yammer event tab on the mobile, and this is important too, I guess, when you're viewing it on a mobile, that portrait images and videos will appear correctly on the mobile.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, moving on. The Planner app and Teams will be renamed with an updated experience and powered by Planner and To-Dos. This was almost going to be the headline.
It's stinking confusing, though, when you read it as a headline. So maybe not.
No. But MC211421, what is going on here?
Yeah, this is really trying to standardize on how people interact with tasks. And, you know, if you're using task in Outlook, for instance, you know, that has been standardized with naming, although it's not the same here. But I think just standardizing it, because we have task across many places, Planner, To-Do, and making sure we're managing that in one place. So it's going to be powered by that, by those two applications, but being renamed so that it's... Is it Planner? Is it To-Do? I don't care. I just want to see my task in Teams. Right.
Let's also just make sure when it's talking about the Planner app, it means the app on the left sidebar. If you've added it to there,
that's right.
That's where it brings together all the tasks that are in plans across all the teams that you're involved in. Mm-hmm. So the idea with the original app is give it one place so you can go in and see what you need to work on, figure out what you're going to spend your focus time on. Mm-hmm. But now that's going to bring together your personal tasks as well from To-Do.
Which is great, right? Because I don't want to have to go to multiple places to see my tasks. Just because it's personal or it's project-based, or team-based, I just need to get my task done.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So that is rolling out in May or June.
Pick one.
But it could be mid-July.
Yeah. Oh, it's May.
Yeah, but actually the other thing about it too is, I think it was this one. Yeah, once this is done, then they're going to make the change in the mobile app as well, so that you've got that tab there and you can manage the tasks all in one place. You can't sort of do that ahead of time and have it not match up with other people that don't have the task experience. So, yeah, good. Yep, the usual, like what to change, it's internal training and documentation, but you know the drill. One of those nondescript. Oh yeah, okay. So this was an update that has been updated based on customer feedback. Updates to Outlook and iOS and Android.
It's just for clarity.
Yeah. It was a update about the S/MIME automated security. And
It's just wording. Just making sure an administrator, you'll be able to use Intune, Microsoft Intune, to deliver the certificates. So that's the update to this. But check it out. They just changed some wording to bring clarity.
What I do like is when they call it out immediately at the top of the updated message, so that people like us that are checking regularly will say, ah, right, good. So it wasn't clear enough.
Yeah.
They've updated.
Yeah, but I think there's this kind of brings up the comment. We've actually skipped a couple in mine that were just updates similarly. It brings up this point that sometimes updates are done and they'll say updated and all that, and they don't show up as new, right? They just have an updated date, but they're not bolded for those of us that are, you know, managing our message center that way. But this one was, yet the only update was wording for clarity. So it's not really an update for functionality per se, it's just clarity. But there's sometimes, in fact, the next one in my list is an update that isn't bolded, but is actually functionality kind of, it's a change that where they're kind of maybe doing some rethinking. So
this is where you were using your soap and your box emoticons and Twitter.
No. It was the multiple chat in Teams, you know, the Twitter, I'm sorry, the private chat.
So keep your soapbox down.
That's right. Keep my soapbox. So this is MC210713. We talked about this before. SharePoint Designer featured deprecation, and this is basically they had turned off SharePoint Designer editing of forms in SharePoint Online. And what this update is, at the present, they're still investigating because there are cases where it still works.
Right.
There are some cases where editing forms breaks and it doesn't work and they don't want to fix it because Designer is deprecated. But there's other cases where it's working. So I'm reading between the lines here to say that there may be opportunity to use SharePoint Designer in the future to edit those forms, but they just don't know what that might be. Again, it's a might, maybe, and in the future, but that's what this update's about.
I like it, though. It's another update where we've listened. We're going to change our mind or change the messaging around this. So at least we're seeing that. We've got updated feature spam notifications and alerts in shared mailboxes, MC211521. If you're an org that uses shared mailboxes to manage incoming customer contact and it's publicly available to people, you are going to get spam. You are going to get the occasional piece of phishing. And sometimes you're going to want to respond to that and manage the quarantine side of things. This is what is enabled. Rather than you having to go through an admin console and do that, then you can manage these messages as if it was a regular user mailbox. Good news. Less clicks,
and anything they can do, regular listeners of our show will know, these quarantine emails just get me and make me not happy. So for various reasons, we won't dive into it, but anything we can do to make it actually easier, it's great. So I'm all for it.
Yep. It chuckles every time when I hear you show restraint. Gets me really not right happy.
Well, this one should get you happy, safe for kids
for families. Even though we do, YouTubers, we click the dot that says, no, this is not for kids, because we don't want restrictions on our videos.
It's not made for kids, but kid friendly, definitely. This one does make me jump up and down for joy, because I've been looking. We've had something similar kind of to this in the distant past, but this is fantastic for those that do presentations. It's PowerPoint Live Presentations, MC 211-518. And this is all about an immersive type of experience for your viewers. And what do I mean by immersive, Daryl? It means being able to really join the presentation no matter what device. So while I'm maybe in the room, I can watch your presentation on my device, so I can get a clearer picture of what's going on. Maybe I'm way back in there. Maybe I'm doing it online, and so I don't have dual screens, or I do have dual screens and I want to bring it up here or whatever. But then also I can get my own language, and I can do transcribing of what is being said in online. I'm just excited, Daryl. I hope my excitement is coming through, but I am very excited about this.
Yeah. I'm getting this translated in Dagobah language. That's right. I think that's one of the Star Wars languages. And I'm just responding to your presentation here from my phone with all the live emoticons.
Yeah, I mean, being able to, and may the 4th be with you, everyone out there, although for Daryl it's the 5th. But this is an amazing feature, I think, for those that give presentations. And it's not just speakers at conferences or Saturday events or Friday events like Office 365 Nashville that's happening this Friday, May 8th at 0365nashville.org. It is for those that are giving presentations at organizations that want to be inclusive, that want to make sure that people understand what you're saying, while computer-aided translation is not normally 100% correct. It can get it close enough to maybe help people understand what you're saying, overcome the Kiwi accent or the Southern drawl, and get people an experience where they can not only take in, they can respond, they can be interactive. I'm loving this update.
Yeah,
I'll stop now and let you talk. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I think that it's a accessibility thing, you know, even though there's language that are fit into that accessibility thing. The thing is that you can watch the presentation from your phone or your tablet, whatever, your second device you can advance through. It's using PowerPoint Online, and at the end of it too, it allows you to have a form to get some kind of feedback as well. So
That's the only kicker for this is that it's only PowerPoint for the web. And so if you fire up the client, the app, for Windows, you can't use it there, it has to be started from PowerPoint on the web. But I think language is a big one. You know, if you have people who are, for me, for instance, in my organization, if we have Spanish first speakers, meaning they speak English, but Spanish is their native language, then maybe switching that to Spanish so they can understand the intent and not have to think about what do the words exactly mean and try to translate, you know, and keep going. I think this is, for me, it may not be listed as an accessibility feature, but for me, I think it is. I think it falls squarely in that.
Joanne had a question about whether people could advance the slides themselves in the presentation from their device. Yes, they can, but I'd want to know if a presenter can lock that down and say, I don't want anyone, I want them following along at my pace. So I think we have to find that one out. But yeah, that just moving along there. So targeted release any day now, standard release early June, complete by end of June. Fun. Lots of different online conferences that are on right now in all sorts of places. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. We've got Outlook introduces incident notification for IT admins 211-619. This one, I'm getting Outlook's getting kind of crowded when it comes to panes along the side of the Outlook. You know, you got your calendar, and if you've got calendar and tasks, and then the message preview, and then your navigation tree as well. My Analytics will open up a fourth pane, so now you've got four columns. What else is there? There was another one that does that. But anyway, it's actually bringing a panel, a pane, into Outlook so that if you are an IT admin, you can check out and see what these incident reports are and respond to them if you want them.
Yeah, if you want them. And I think this is, you know, for those that spend their time in Outlook, you know, this is useful, not having to have multiple windows open and being able to do that. I agree with you, though. It's getting really busy. And managing what you see and interact with in Outlook is going to be a task. But I agree with you on that.
At least they give us control over our pains.
Right. I want pain control. Advil. No, sorry.
But I want pain relief. I can turn them off if I want to. Yeah. I don't have my analytics on all day. If I was an IT admin, and I'm going to leave this turned on for a bit, just see what it's like. but to be honest, this is my incident pain. If you haven't got the admin app on your mobile, then what are you? Are you an IT admin? Ah, come on. Ooh, harsh words there. Yeah.
I'm like, so harsh.
Yeah. Your next one, updated feature, the Office 365 portal rebrand and the Service Health MC211629. Guess what? It's not called Office 365 portal anymore. It's called the M365 suite. Microsoft 365 suite.
Yeah, don't call it. Yes, M. Right. M. You don't want to get in trouble with the rebrand, folks.
No, that's right. So there it is. Service Health. Change of words. Next message. Updated feature. Conditionally show or hide columns in a SharePoint list or library for MC211640. Is this going to be useful, Daniel? Like, I get that we want to hide and show things based on whether you should see this or not.
Yes, and I think the cool thing here is being able to – people are creating these solutions and are really being inhibited by the functionality of SharePoint List where you can't show or hide columns based on information. So being able to actually have information drive whether those columns are, whether, you know, calculated column, for instance, in one column is a certain value, then hide it. Mm-hmm. This opens up other types of, not opens up, but this brings to mind other types of improvements that I think Microsoft's willing to listen to and wanting to get feedback on how you provide solutions and create solutions using SharePoint List. But I think being able to conditionally go, if this column is a certain value, then don't show the column. That's a great thing. I believe on the form, not having to deal with that information, I'm liking it. So I'm liking that we're getting this type of functionality, and I believe it opens the door for other types of, you know, show, hide kind of column information.
Can you tell me what FOO is? Apart from the first, part of the Foo Fighters name, show or hide columns based on value? No. Financial operating officer? I don't know.
I think Foo maybe is just something they're.
FUBA. Ooh!
Yeah, right. Mm.
No. And it's spelled differently too, by the way.
That's right.
So this conditional formatting. The other example I was thinking of was if something has nothing, then don't show it. Don't take up space. Just show me the stats. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of probably a useful one. That's a targeted release end of April, early May. Now, is gradually rolling out to standard release customers mid May 2020. Next message. Your new service plan for common data service added to enable future Office features, MC211030. This feels familiar.
Very familiar. We talked about this on, this is the, I believe, the update for general. We talked about it when it was preview, but being able to have your users have the, there was an update to the common data service, but then being able to use it now, the first thing would be this roadmap and for Project Online to be able to get a global kind of view of all your projects and what's going on in the roadmap. So check out what we talked about before on this. You can do a search on our site to to find this, but we talked about the project a lot in depth there.
Yeah. Saved for later. The web part available on modern web pages. Modern pages. MC201364. When you're clicking into an article, a news thing, a page, want to have a look at that later, thanks. So it's the old little bookmark thingo, which you can see. What is it on the SharePoint homepage? But is this a web part that allows me to drop it on a page? And I guess I could put it on the intranet homepage and make it more customized for me.
It is, yeah. The content is yours. Mm-hmm. The web part would be shared, right?
Yep.
So the web part would be for everybody. They would all see that same web part, but the information of Save for Later would be yours. And exactly, if I'm reading news, I want to get to this later, I got to move on, but this sounds really interesting, save that for later. And basically, it's a bookmark within the service to be able to get back to it. Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd put that on like the sidebar column of an intranet page.
Yes.
If you're an org that's into customizing that page to reflect something that's more specific to the person viewing it, that'll help you pick up from where you left off. Oh, that's right. I was going to read that one. That's important. Yeah. So that is rolling out users beginning mid-May and then end of July when it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
Good feature, just usability features. Right, ready for Soapbox. As I was saying Soapbox earlier in the episode, I was thinking we've had a lot of rain, and soap and boxes and rain and...
Slippery
Soapboxes, yeah. Your updated feature, group chat for up to 250 people. MC211658. Take it away, Daniel.
Why not? No, because I got plenty of reasons why not. I just don't know the reason why. I don't even know a reason why. So this message is all about increasing the maximum chat size. So don't think team, think chat and teams.
Yep.
Size from 100 to 250. Why 100?
Well, when do we use chat over a channel conversation?
When you want it to be private?
Yeah.
When you want it to be personal? Yeah. I mean, when you want to have that personalized, it's that water cooler or that, I think of it as, you know, it's that same feature of in Skype for Business we've been using, chat. Mm. I mean, it's when you want to have a quick conversation, generally speaking, but a chat, you want to chat with somebody. Do you want to chat with 249 other people at the same time?
You know, I think this is actually... I think what's happening here is think of the tags. You can tag and create a group of people within a team. So it's a logical group. You may have a high number of people. Imagine a first-line staff and you've got a tag that represents a certain role. Group chat is still one of the best ways to go, boom, hey, everyone, this is meant for you. And it's still, people still read this over and above a at mention within a channel. They seem to respond to it better. So this is a bit like, hey everyone, this message is for you. I wanna hit you up for something I've got to say.
Then let's get rid of tags.
No, because you can start a group chat from a tag.
But see, this is my point. Why would you start a group chat in a team when you can just do it on one-on-one chat now with 250 people? That's ridiculous. It is. So the only use case I can come up with is, I know Microsoft does this, is they have engineers worldwide. Mm-hmm. And they have these conversations where there's some sort of major issue, whether it is in Office 365 or it is a big, huge client with on-prem technology. And they'll go on there and say, anyone know about this? We're having this issue. I need help now.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those. But frankly, spin up a new team. Anytime you come to me and say, I need to chat with 249 other people, please, would you enable that? Sure. Here's your new team. Go for it. Oh, but I don't want a whole team. I don't care. But there's no, I still don't, I don't, And it can't be a saving of space issue. You know, somebody mentioned jokingly, well, you'll be, oh, at least they're getting it out of email. No, they're not. Because for compliance reasons, chat, personal chat is stored in two places. It's stored in the chat service, so in Teams and Azure chat service, and in the mailbox of each person.
Mm-hmm. But you don't see it in there, right?
No, but so I just don't get it. I know there's going to be times when people are going to go, oh, Daniel, here's the use cases, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Start a team. That's going to be my...
Here's the use cases. In fact, I'll start a team to discuss the use cases.
Good. Don't start a chat with me. Because,
come on.
I think chat is great. Yeah. But chat is supposed to be not for informational type of messages. It's meant for interaction. Everybody talking. I just, that's the way I see it. And if you don't see it that way, then you're wrong. So there we go. I'm just joking. I'm not sure. I just don't get it. And I don't understand it. So I know this is a very short message. I'm looking at this going, why? Why? Anyway.
Well, you know where to find him if you want to say, hey, Daniel, there's my use case. But the other thing to note here, too, is it is just chat. So you are still limited to maximum of 20 people for video and audio calls. It's not like you can have a 250-person or 230-person chat and then say, right, let's start a call off this. It's going to pick the first 20 people off your list and no one else can join. So keep that in mind. It's not like a full meeting with 250 people. Right. Moving along, because we've got a couple more to go before we finish off. Configuration change, allow OneDrive accounts to sync only for specific organizations. That is MC211659. So this is what, that we can say, I'm going to allow you as a guest to be able to synchronize your OneDrive client with my org, but only if you're on a allow list?
Well, this is the, this is saying, okay, if I want to not allow my users to sync anything but our organization's content, their OneDrive, instead of syncing OneDrive for other tenants, then this is how I would do that. Mm-hmm. Before this configuration change, if you selected it, but didn't put the tenant ID of your tenant in, it actually blocked syncing everywhere. So it wouldn't even sync for your organization. But what this is doing is, and now with this change, if you have it set without the tenant ID, then it'll have the same effect as if it was just disabled to begin with. Mm. So they're kind of helping you there with this change.
All right. So that is rolling out mid-May, complete early June. Couple more. Microsoft Threat Protection enabled for eligible license holders, MC211736. Enabled for eligible license holders. Isn't that generally the pattern?
Well, yes. It's just saying, hey, we're going to do this. This, on June 1st, it's going to automatically enable it if you have any of these licenses. I think the biggest here is the Microsoft 365 and the Office 365 E5s. I think it's really just saying, if you have a license that allows you to do this, it will be enabled, rather than, you know, maybe it hasn't been enabled for you. So I think that's what we're doing with this announcement.
So that means they've had the feature already and they're just going to turn it on for people? Or it's...
That is the way I'm reading it, Daryl.
All right. Well, you take a closer look at that. I mean, I think it is just around having a service that's going to protect you from threats. But like with many of these things, if you don't take a closer look, there might be something enabled there that stops the flow of something to get through to you, unless you put exception rules and stuff like that. So do take a closer look. We don't have a lot of time to talk more about it, but take a look. Last one. A little bit sad about this one. Microsoft Stream People Timeline Retirement. MC211744. A feature that was heralded as, wow, awesome. Okay, but first of all, let's come back to the problem, the use case. Videos, recordings of meetings, stuff like that. You have to watch things in serial fashion, right? If you want information, you know, and you don't have a transcript or anything like that, then you've got to watch it through and go, right, at that point there, that's when Daniel said this, and then he expounded a bit more about that soapbox thing. So I do want to go back to that point in the video. Where was that again? We have transcript. Cool. And when this first came out, we also had facial detection. So things swap around and show the most active speaker, and boom, there's Daniel's face, and we recognize that. And we've got our timelines. Let's click on there where Daniel started speaking. So we can jump to the position where the business is happening. And that's being retired. Because
that is being retired because it's not being used. But do you know why it's not being used, Darren?
Oh, it's that old thing again. It hasn't been there for a little while, so people aren't clicking on it.
This was my second.
Your face would come up then on that recording if we still had this feature.
Exactly. For everyone on the audio podcast, I did the zoom in on my face because that's the point. It is, they're disabling it, and they say it right here. In response to the low feature usage during a time of unprecedented growth for the service, meaning everyone's using Stream, but no one's using this, we're just going to go ahead and retire because apparently it's not useful. But if you actually review what has been disabled in Microsoft 365 because of the usage, it has been this feature. They turned off the feature because it was taking up too much resources because so many people were jumping on. They turned it off. They disabled it. And they're like, oh, well, no one's using it, so we'll go ahead and kill it. Well, no one's using it because you disabled it, people.
Yeah.
Oh, like, slap my head 5 times. It's just so – I don't understand. It's like, oh, we want to kill this feature. How do we do it? Well, turn it off. Well, we can't just kill it. No, I mean, turn it off and then nobody will use it.
Mm.
And then you can kill it because nobody's using it.
So it was definitely dialed down because I imagine it takes quite a bit to go through every frame of the video and go, oh, I recognize that face. In fact, Stephen Collier brings up a funny use case where if you've got stock images or pictures of faces, then it is going to pick up on that as well. We're now talking with whoever that background image was. So imagine the fun we could have had with our background images and having Darth Vader in the background there. And it's like, oh, well, let's go to the part where Darth said this. That feature's been dialed down. Well, not dialed down. It's gone. It's out of here. Retirement, yeah, June, 1st of June.
June 1st. Yeah, so we have a month. I mean, at least they're giving us a month notice, unlike most of our announcements this week. Not most, but some of them, SharePoint. I've said all I need to say. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's one of those, maybe there's not a use case, but they should have worded this better. This first sentence is basically saying, well, no one's using it, even though everyone's using the service. So we're just going to kill it. No, just say, we don't want to support it anymore. We're killing it.
It was an E5 feature, wasn't it, too? It wasn't something that, because you get transcription for free as part of your E3, but you had to have an E5 for facial detection. So, and then I guess people weren't clicking on the faces to jump to certain things. So
I'm sorry, listeners and everyone on YouTube right now. I'm sorry, I went on a second rant, and I'm terribly sorry. Please forgive me.
All right. Well, I mean, that's still on a positive note. Are you well, my friend?
Yes.
Coping with COVID?
I am. Are you?
COVID confinement, actually, I should say. Coping with confinement.
Yes. You're doing well.
I am. Yep. And thank you to everyone who's joined us from their little confinement place in the world. Some have had to leave because we have gone a bit over time. But we did have 17 messages. We tried to keep it roughly sort of 2 minutes or less. But thanks for joining us. It was good to see you. Good to see
Appreciate it.
You know, yeah, bring along a coffee next time, or maybe a nice slice or a cup of tea, or, you know, whatever. Just something to share with everyone as they come along to the – never mind.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now.